He is a disgraced former football quarterback from Gotham University in the 25th century, turned 20th century superhero with questionable motives. He's Booster Gold, the greatest hero you've never heard of, and your geek history lesson is now in session. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I am Jason Skeets Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson. Welcome to your Mind University because you have stumbled onto the podcast where we take one character, construct, or social media personality from the future and teach you everything you need to know about them in about an hour. And today we are talking about a long time coming character, I feel like.
A favorite of this podcast. And we're talking about this character because this is to celebrate his brand new comic book series. Of course, we're talking about Booster Gold. But his brand new comic book series, Blue and Gold, by Dan Jurgens and Ryan Sook, is coming out this week, or this week at the time of this recording. And guys, we have a very, very, very special guest for today's episode. Much talked about on this podcast, much loved on this podcast, big fans of on this podcast, Mr. Dan Jurgens himself is going to be joining us to talk about what I think is his greatest character, Booster Gold. So stay tuned later into this podcast for that interview. But first, we have to thank all our listeners and our Mind University students that recommended Booster Gold. Where can they do that, Ashley, if they want to request people and topics like Booster Gold?
The best place to do that is if you go to facebook.com/geekhistorylesson or on Twitter at @GHLpodcast. You can always leave a request in your Apple Podcast reviews, but as you know, we don't always get to those in a timely manner. Social media is the best place.
Booster Gold was requested by these listeners: Michael Alfonso, Beardo Mancer, Michael Fury, Tyler Davis, @Scrapbookie, Kyle Perkins, @WMBurke88, @Javiera83, Lance Kaminsky, Grod Frankenstein, Herb Fung, the beekeeper, and Tobias and Kaim Steinberg. So thank you all for requesting Booster Gold. Fun fact, we didn't plan this, but it worked out that this is our 375th episode, and I think it's very appropriate that it's Booster Gold.
There's also a Booster Gold on the shelf behind you.
Don't spoil. Don't. That's going to spoil something later. FYI, before we get into our main lesson here, I just want to say, like all of our geek history lessons, if you are new to the podcast, it is literally impossible for us to talk about everything involving a character, especially involving a time traveler. This is just a summary of stuff that I think is important, a lesson, if you will, not a dictation of every single event that has ever happened to Booster Gold. So if you do give us the comment on social media or on YouTube or wherever you're listening to this that, hey, you forgot this or you forgot that, then I hope the multiverse consumes you alive. All right, moving on. Ashley, let's go to the 10-cent origin.
It can't be as bad as Monel. The 10-cent origin is the first part of the podcast where Jason is going to break down all of the who's it's and what's it in case you go to a Bwahaha Justice League themed party and someone asks you what's up with Booster Gold.
Booster Gold, of course, is a DC comic superhero. He's sometimes known as Booster, Boostroo, Gold Star, Supernova, spoilers, or his full name, Michael John Carter. That's a John with no H. Additionally, he has been part of the Justice League, the Conglomerate, the Justice League International, Argus, and Extreme Justice. We'll get to that later. Michael John Carter made his first appearance in Booster Gold number 1 in February of 1986, and he was created, of course, by Dan Jurgens, and his abilities include hand-to-hand, he's a hand-to-hand combatant. He has longevity utilizing advanced technology that gives him the ability of flight, energy blast, force blast, enhanced strength, time travel, and various other abilities. And depending on which comic series and which stories, sometimes he's also super rich. And sometimes he's super broke. It just depends on what the writer wants to do.
That's true. That's very true.
So, before we get into the meet cute, everyone, I just want to remind you, if you do not know this, we also do a lot of extra podcasts over on our Patreon.
What?
At patreon.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. That's where you can support Geek History Lesson. And you can listen to 1, 2, 3 extra podcasts a month. Actually, like 4 or 5 episodes a month, including an episode that might be very appropriate to this podcast, the Jason and Jeremy John About Justice League podcast, where my best friend Jeremy and I review every single episode of Justice League, the animated series. So go on and check that out. It's over at patreon.com/Jawin. If you're listening to this podcast, you might enjoy it. So let's get to the meet cute, Ashley. What's the meet cute?
The meet cute is the second part of the podcast where we steal a term from romantic comedy writing, where we tell you how we meet these characters and how cute it was.
Ashley, where did you meet Booster Gold? I don't know.
I first met Booster Gold on the internet. Back in the early days, it was a forum, but I mean, I can't tell you who it was hosted by or anything like that. It was maybe like an MSN group or something like that.
Okay, I was going to guess Alta Vista, but sure.
I don't know what that is.
It's a very old search engine.
And somebody had made these two pillows, and they were Blue Beetle and Booster Gold logos.
Oh, cool.
And they were so, I wanted them so bad. They were so cool. And a bunch of people were talking about how much they loved Booster Gold and Blue Beetle and how they were in love. And so I was like, wow, gay superheroes, neat. And so then in every incarnation where I actually like saw them on Justice League or read them in the comics or whatever, I was always like, well, they're married, obviously, because a bunch of random girls on the internet said that they should be a couple. And that is how I first met both Booster Gold and Blue Beetle. But probably more accurately was like reading the Bwahaha Justice Leagues out of quarter bins growing up.
Nice.
Those are great issues. Jason, where did you first meet Michael John Carter?
In The Death of Superman. Mm-hmm. Because during that storyline, Booster is part of the Justice League, which at the time was also being written by Mr. Dan Jurgens, because mm-hmm. he does a lot and he's amazing. And Booster is just kind of this jackass in that story, and Doomsday beats the holy living hell out of him. But I was very annoyed by him. And actually, I was going to say, like, I didn't love Booster Gold until the series 52, which mm-hmm. we will talk about later. And Booster is a very big part of that series.
There you go.
But Death of Superman. Yeah, he was a guy that got his face stomped in, I believe. It's pretty brutal.
Yeah.
It's pretty brutal. All right, let's get into the History 101.
The main meat of the lesson, where Professor Jason is going to teach you everything you need to know about Booster Gold.
All right, Ashley, I would love for you... You know that he was born in the 25th century, mm-hmm. so you know the year starts with 24. Mm-hmm. I'd love to just make a random guess about what year in the future do you think Michael John Carter was born?
2483.
Well, you're not far off. It's 2442.
Pretty far off.
All right. On December 29th, 2442, Michael John Carter was born in Gotham City. So he's a Gotham boy. His father left the family, so he was left Michael. He had his twin sister, Michelle, and their mother, and he was left without a father when he was 4 years old. Now, he never really had much interest in academics. You know, that should be pretty clear if you've ever mm-hmm. read a Booster Gold comic book. And he opted instead to focus his energy on football, and he was able to receive a football scholarship to attend Gotham University. Now, his popularity, he became a ever-growing football star, which just led to him getting a big ego. And he quickly became the university's star quarterback and started going by the nickname Booster. However, he became involved in some illicit gambling. Specifically, he started betting on his own games. And then he would specifically cause his own team to lose to win those bets mm-hmm. to help out mm-hmm. his family. It quickly got out of control, and eventually his absentee gambling-addicted father came back into the fold, even started making the bets worse, making things worse for Michael, and the university found out and banned Booster from the sport for life.
For life?
Yeah.
So, they're only a university.
I know. But basically it was like, you cannot play college football anywhere else.
Yeah.
So the only thing that Booster was good at, he lost. So he did what we all, I think, would do. He decided to go work for a museum. So he worked for the Metropolis Space Museum, where he was a security guard / some stories show him as a janitor. Mm-hmm. It just depends. And he began in the wing that was dedicated to the heroic age of the 20th century superheroes and villains. These stories inspired him to do something about his life, because he was like, I'm just basically doing nowhere. And during his work, he began to befriend an automatic security robot that also patrolled the museum named Skeets. So along with Skeets, he stole several items from the museum, including a Legion flight ring from a display about the Legion of Superheroes, a force field belt that belonged to Brainiac 5, and wristbands that released force bolts. Finally, he stole the last item and the most important item. He stole Rip Hunter's time sphere that was also in the museum to transport him and Skeets back to the 20th century.
Before Legends of Tomorrow, this was the only place I'd ever heard of Rip Hunter.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Now, upon arriving in the past, Michael Booster Carter adopted the alias of Jesus Alvarez based on a credit card that he had stolen from the museum. And after getting set up, he goes on his first mission as a superhero. He saved the president's life from a villain named Chiller.
You know, he was just telling people his name was Jesus. He didn't even know it was supposed to be Jesus.
The president was so impressed by this new hero that he awarded him the Medal of Honor. However, instead of introducing himself as Gold Star, which is what Michael wanted his superhero to name, he nervously just said his name was Gold. And so the president called him Booster Gold.
No, my name is the Human Spider.
Yes, exactly. He then created Gold Star Incorporated and established it in Metropolis.
You think it was an LLC or an S-Corp?
Well, it was incorporated. So Trixie Collins, he soon hired Trixie Collins as secretary and had a uniform made by Star Labs and would go by Gold Star. Now, later, his sister Michelle would also wear this same exact uniform and also be called Gold Star, too. We'll talk about how she gets to the past a little bit later. Okay. Now, for a while, Booster took the place of Superman in Metropolis because Superman had been lost in time at the run. However, upon Superman's return, he was not happy to see that there was Gold Star Incorporated as an as-hero-for-profit organization in his city. Now, they managed to repair the relationship because Booster, during one of his adventures, saved Superman from an evil android version of Booster, which was actually filled with kryptonite. And once Booster did that, that was actually during a John Byrne story, Superman kind of was like, all right, you can stay in Metropolis and I won't be too mad.
You saved my life. So fine.
Now, Ashley, I want to ask you, is Booster Gold's attraction to corporate sponsorship an interesting character choice, especially for the 80s. Do you like this idea that Booster is constantly selling out, constantly trying to make money? What do you think about this?
It's very funny to me through a contemporary lens because obviously Booster is a product of when he was created, which was sort of a big
greed is good
turning point in our understanding of American capitalism. And I think it's a great idea. But if he had been created in 2010... Mm-hmm. He wouldn't be branded like Booster's branded as a sellout, because he's acting exactly the way every influencer without an actual skill acts now. But he's actually doing good with it. So it's funny because I think the moral compass and your judgments may vary depending on when you come to Booster Gold. But I think for the gag of creating a corporate superhero is very interesting.
All right, cool.
I think actually Smallville does a really good twist on it with the racing jacket with all the little patches on it.
Well, and they actually got that from 52.
Well, didn't everything.
I actually really like the Smallville's version of Booster. So, okay, so eventually, Booster is attacked by a mob of anti-superhero radicals because at the time there was this Legends storyline that was going on where the DC Universe kind of didn't like their superheroes. They were like, whatever, you superheroes. Anyways, it doesn't matter. We're not going to talk about it. We are going to talk about that Booster got attacked. And in the attack, Booster's power suit is depleted of energy and he is physically injured. This forces him to have to travel back to his home time, the future, to repair his suit, because his suit is, of course, 25th century technology. When he gets there, he runs into his twin sister, Michelle. And we find out that Michelle had a very rough time after Booster left the future. Things had gotten bad for Michelle and their mother. They lived in near poverty until Booster's mother died. And then Michelle has basically been on her own. Booster finally decides to go back to the 20th century, and he decides to bring Michelle with them. Now, back in the 20th century, Michelle is happy. She finds her brother is wealthy. Life is good. And she uses the costume that was meant for Booster's superhero and sidekick Gold Star, which is originally Trixie's costume, as I mentioned earlier, and gets caught up in an adventure that actually leads to her death.
Yes, I knew that.
Much to her brother's devastation. So then Booster is finally left with some real world issues of the idea that if I just had left my sister back in the 25th century, she would not be dead. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. It's interesting because a lot of artists and Mr. Juergens himself draw Michelle as very young. And it's funny because I sometimes a lot forget that Michelle is his twin.
Not his younger sister?
Yeah, because I always like default to like, oh, no, yeah, she's like, you know, and this is my, you know, showing my, you know, I have a younger sister. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's why I think, oh, no, she's 6 or 7 years younger than him. But no, this is his twin sister. So for a very surfacey hero, this would be a huge deal to Booster that he lost his twin.
Well, it would be a huge deal to anyone.
That's true.
But yes, it's a really strong emotional choice.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, after this, for Booster, his agent at Gold Star Incorporated, Dirk Davis, revealed himself as working for the Manhunter androids in the middle of the DC Comics event Millennium. Now, Ashley, do you know who the Manhunters are?
The Manhunters are pretty much exactly what they sound like. They're evil space robots who hunt heroes.
Yes, and they were created by they were the original Green Lanterns.
That's true. And they're who Martian Manhunter named himself after.
No, those are just a term on Mars.
I know, I just like to say that because it's just weird that there's two different Manhunters. There's actually three different Manhunters.
Now, Millennium is a 1988 DC crossover where the Manhunters return to dominate the universe and crush the heroes of Earth along with the Green Lantern Corps. That's all we're going to talk about it. Booster was able to foil these Manhunters' doomsday plans, but during this, and because of his relationship to Dirk Davis, his agent, who also turned out to be a Manhunter, he was mistakenly labeled as a traitor, and to this result, he was forced to declare bankruptcy for himself and for Gold Star Incorporated. So now, Booster is poor.
Well, he's broke.
Yeah, and poor.
He's broke.
And broke. So it didn't stay that way for very long.
A handsome, formerly rich white guy didn't stay broke forever?
No.
No.
Because Booster joined the Justice League International. Max Lord made him an offer. Now, this team focused more on Europe, and generally its run, of course, is considered to be more lighthearted. And there, he was able to become good friends with Blue Beetle Ted Kord and Fire and Ice. And Booster Gold and Blue Beetle took full advantage of their Justice League membership and concocted numerous schemes while living on the island Kui Kui Kui. And they start a superhero repo service, known as the Blue and the Gold. They also open a casino on the island called Club JLI and numerous other schemes to make money and things that go wrong. Now, they temporarily left the Justice League International to join the Conglomerate, which was a corporate-sponsored superhero team. But Booster eventually returned to the Justice League under Superman's leadership. And this is the Dan Jurgens Justice League that we talked about. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, I skipped over a lot of the Justice League International runs. Have we done a Justice League International episode? I don't think we have.
I will tell you in a minute.
I don't think we have, but we could do a full Justice League. We've done a Justice League episode, but I don't think we've done a Justice League.
I know we've done a 10 chord one as well.
Yes. So if you want to hear more of that, we can talk about that. But like, basically, this is the run that formulated and solidified Ted Kord and Michael John Carter's relationship. Now, Ashley, I want to ask you a question here.
Yeah.
I want you to describe your thoughts on Blue Beetle and Booster Gold's relationship and why it is so important to the character now, even though Blue Beetle was a secondary addition to Booster's storyline. Blue Beetle is not in the original Booster Gold series created by Dan Jurgens. This is and Dan Jurgens did not work on Justice League International.
That's also true.
But it seems like these two are now forever. I mean, the new series is Blue and Gold. What, mm-hmm. I know you're a big Ted Kord fan. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts and feelings on Blue Beetle, Booster Gold, how important it is and so on?
It's so funny because it's kind of like the way that you talk about Deep Space Nine getting really good when Worf shows up. It's not that Booster Gold isn't interesting or there aren't good stories before then. Like, the Dan Jurgens original series
is great.
Awesome.
I own both those hardcovers,
yes.
Baby.
and man, when I was first getting into those characters, those issues were hard to find.
Well, they weren't reprinted.
Yeah. Yeah. So you either had to buy them secondhand or find them in corners of the internet.
By the way, I just want to throw this out there, and this might be a fun thing to share on the social media. I love the original Booster Gold logo because the S is a dollar sign.
Yes, it is. Which is something that I think they're doing in the new series as well.
I think so. But Ted Kord, and I know you loved. So you think that it's this idea that this addition just helps make Booster so much better.
So complete, because they are, like all good soulmates, they are sort of opposite sides of the same coin. To use a term that I don't think is correct, like they're these kind of C-list weird characters. Michael is the brawn. He's like the bright star dummy. And Ted is the brains, and he's this not very confident genius. And when you put them together, they function as an entire human being. I think a lot of the charm of the characters is because they're funny, or depending on your personal view of comedy, not funny, but mm-hmm. they think they're funny. And I think the reason that people reacted so positively to them is because like they're lovely. Like they're the couple that you want to hang out with. They're so much fun and they bring so much joy. And that whole run does, because it is very silly, and it's a great counterpoint to...
Justice League International is great, by the way. We should say that.
Yes. It's a great counterpoint to even something like Grant Morrison's JLA, which is also awesome, but it's a much darker version of that type of storytelling. And I can't quite put my finger on it, but they're perfect together.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
I love them. I want them to get married and live happily ever after.
Now, next... is the battle with Doomsday, as we mentioned. Doomsday, of course, is this big bony monster, the cruel Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And during this giant battle, Blue Beetle, Ted Kord, was put into a coma, and Booster Gold's suit was completely destroyed. Now, Blue Beetle recreated Booster's suit, but it had a lot of problems. And another attack from Overmaster, this other 90s extreme DC supervillain, destroyed the new suit. And Booster Gold got his arm blasted off.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
So again, Blue Beetle created another suit that provided life support and a robotic arm. And Booster said in response, good friends give you a hand. Best friends give you an arm.
So silly.
The Justice League after this event was eventually broken into four main groups. It became the Justice League of America, Justice League Europe, Justice League Task Force, and Extreme Justice. Now, Ashley,
the action figure line.
I want you to make a... No, that's total justice. That's total justice.
That's right.
I want you, Ashley, to make a note. We will share a picture of the extreme justice suit of Booster.
Okay.
Because, oh, wow, 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 is it a 90s design. It is the big, bulky, he looks square, and he looks very clunky. There is also a softer redesign that Dan Juergens did where like it's a redesign and I actually think it's pretty good, but no, I'm talking about the big, he basically looks like blue and yellow cheap Iron Man. That's what it looks like. It's not a good suit. So Booster Gold is recruited into Extreme Justice by Captain Atom, who is I'm a big fan of.
Yes, you are.
And he strikes a deal with the supervillain Monarch. Now Monarch completely heals Booster, including his arm, and provides a new suit with Skeets built into the suit as the AI voice. It's almost like the people that wrote Iron Man might have read this run.
Wow, he really does look like a low-rent Iron Man.
Did you find it?
Yes.
Let me show you a picture of it real quick. Yes, that is the one. Yes, Ashley is showing a picture here where it's a close-up. The cover is a close-up of Booster, and it's like he's gritting his teeth so hard that he's like, rawr!
Yeah. It's a 90s AF cover for yes. sure.
So in the new suit, which is not that suit, this is the suit where you'll find out if you guys Google Booster Gold like 90s suits or post-Extreme Justice suits, you'll find one where like the blue star is most of his chest.
Yes, yeah.
That is the redesign. This is that suit with Skeets is built in.
Do you like Skeets as the AI, or do you think she should live outside the suit?
She'd live outside.
I agree.
But I understand why the creators at the time would do this, because it makes Booster a little bit more advanced.
Absolutely. And
especially for like 94. This is when this comic would have happened, 94, 93.
Yes. And it's a very different, mm-hmm. very different thing to do for the time.
Yes. Now, upon their disbanding, Extreme Justice would actually destroy this big clunky suit. So it's okay.
He just burned it in a fire in the backyard.
So Booster Booster goes back to Metropolis where he first began his superhero career, and he gets a replacement suit built for him by Professor Hamilton from the remains of Blue Superman, Electric Superman's containment suit. Now, I apologize. This is actually the suit with the big blue star. I was getting them all mixed up.
I know Hamilton is Emil Hamilton,
yep.
But when you said that, my brain just went, Alexander Hamilton.
There are more things in the world that are named Hamilton
than Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Just that musical. Okay.
Absolutely not.
All right. So it is made to resemble his original costume, the Big Blue Star, and grants him all of his original abilities, which is something that I really love because, you know, I'm a big fan of Blue Superman.
Sometimes I forget that Booster doesn't actually have superpowers.
No, he doesn't. He has no, absolutely.
He's just a homie.
He has absolutely no superpowers. But first, we got to talk about Skeets in a spot like that I like to call Action Figure Spotlight. Now, Ashley, we are going to share on our Twitter at GHL Podcast that in this very room, as Ashley spoiled very earlier on, we actually have a Blue Beetle and a Booster Gold sitting up on a shelf. And this booster is from the DC Classics, probably the greatest action figure line of all time. I know a lot of people are screaming Marvel Legends, but I just prefer that one so much. And it's a booster. He's shiny. He's metallic. And he has a really cool skeet, that you can plug into his back. So Skeets is like hovering over him. Now, they made two versions of this figure. They made one that was the ninth. Do you know the difference between Booster Gold's costume in the 90s and Booster Gold's costume in the 80s?
I believe the 90s one has the 90s one has the collar, right?
No, the 80s one has the collar. He originally has the collar, so and then in the 90s they got rid of it. Now, I prefer the 90s one, but I will say that our action figure
he has to have a collar.
He has the collar. So I kind of like that we have original Booster, and we have Ted Kord, and we have him pumping fists.
They should be holding hands, but they can't.
They can hold hands.
Also, that Skeets falls out of his back constantly.
Yes, and I'm not gonna glue it in.
No.
Okay, Ashley, we're not really gonna talk about this because this is gonna come up, you know, in the future here. In one of Booster Gold's storylines, Booster decides that using Skeets to see future crises is cheating because you know he has literally all of history up till the 25th century. However, what do you feel about that? Is that a huge advantage he's cutting himself off of? Should Booster use that because he knows it all? Or, I mean, what are your feelings of this? Should Booster use this information or should he not use this information?
Well, you're heading into the, like, moral paradox of pre-crime, which superheroes love to deal with. And you're also dealing with the question of, like, do you believe in determinism or not?
Well,
is he always supposed to have known? Are they always supposed to have tried to get around the crises?
And we will talk a little bit about a storyline that's coming up here in a second where he will use this database and find out that when he changes it, Skeets' database changes the future. Like,
right,
it changes everything.
The Flash stole with the newspapers. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I will say that with all love and respect to Michael John Carter, because I do love him with my entire heart and soul, he absolutely would use it.
I think so.
With no moral quandaries about it.
I think so.
Because he would think he's helping. That's the thing. Like, Booster's dumb, but he's not bad. He's not evil.
Here's the thing.
He's just not very bright. He's why he needs Ted.
I actually think Booster is smart.
He's not smart.
Because you have to think about what you would have been taught in a 25th century school compared to a 21st century school. So Booster knows some stuff that we just out the gate. The thing about Booster is that Booster is just lazy. He's lazy. So he doesn't care. He'd rather leap into stuff and just do it. But like the scheme to come back to the past and become a celebrity is actually kind of a genius idea. Because he would know exactly how to manipulate our century. It would be the same thing. Like if we.
Yeah, but then why not come back and become Emperor of Earth? Like,
because he doesn't want to be Emperor of Earth because he's lazy. That would require work.
Mm-mm. Yes. Have you seen a monarch? They don't work.
Well, to make the trains run on time and to make the electricity grid work.
Monarchs have nothing to do with that.
They have everything to do with that.
No, they're privy.
That's too much work. See, Booster would rather come back and just buy the money because he realizes that he can just be the CEO and be the lazy guy.
I guess. I don't think he's smart. I'm not going to agree with you on that.
I think he's lazy. Now, I mean, he's not like super scientist smart like Blue Beetle is, but he's not a dummy either.
No, but I mean, pretty much every superhero in the DC universe is like a genius level intellect.
Yeah.
Like he's their dumb friend.
Yeah. I mean, well, comparatively, I mean, Booster could not build Skeets on his own. He couldn't do it.
No.
But I also think like, you know,
his favorite movie is probably Fast 9. Like,
that's fine. That has nothing to do with intelligence. What does that have to do with intelligence? That's just opinion of subjective material. You know, no, Booster's the guy that just wants to watch the football game on Sunday. That's all he wants to do. He doesn't want to think. He doesn't want to plan. He doesn't want to do that stuff like that. I mean, he is a football player. I gotta think about that.
I hope in the 25th century that we're not still sending people to school on sports scholarships. I'll say that.
Oh, unlike Booster?
Unlike Booster.
You're taking away his career?
He wasn't a career football player.
He could have been.
He wasn't.
He could have been.
He was too dumb to be a football player.
No, he wasn't. The fact that he came up with the scheme to like bet on his own games shows that he's smart.
But he failed.
Well, he failed because he got caught because he's lazy. Anyways,
Did you think this is the hill we're going to die on today?
Well, I also just I just want to say to all our audience that I do not agree with Ashley's response of like if you like Fast 9, that you know that is a question of your intelligence level.
I didn't say if you liked it. I said it was his favorite.
We all know that Booster's favorite movie is Cannonball Run. Come on.
It's Butch Cassidy.
No, that movie's too smart for him. So then, Ashley, we're going to talk about something called the OMAX and Infinite Crisis.
Ocular Metaphysical Assisting Computers.
Wait, what was your second word?
Metaphysical.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, cool.
I'm pretty sure I crushed it with the acronym.
It's a one-man army corps. That's what it is.
Much simpler.
Yes. But it's not really a one-man army corps because they're robots in this one. So,
and there's like a billion of them?
It's a Jack Kirby thing. Don't worry about it. Just move on. All right. So Blue Beetle, Mr. Ted Kord, called Booster out of retirement to help him with his company's stolen funds. Unfortunately, Booster is severely injured while following the clues with Ted. And despite warning Blue Beetle not to continue, Blue Beetle continues and then is shot and killed by Mr. Max Lord, former patron of the Justice League International. Now, Booster, feeling utterly defeated, he decides to return back to his own time to the 25th century.
Well, what else are you supposed to do when your husband is killed?
Okay.
Except mourn and return to the future.
That's right. So somewhere in the middle of the chaos and the crisis of the infinites, Booster Gold arrives back from his future age. He has a new suit, he has a new Skeets, and he finds himself in the wreckage of the JLA Watchtower, and he and Skeets are now criminals in their time because they made sure to hijack all the historical records so they'd know exactly what happened, and they set off to Earth to find the original Blue Beetle's Mystic Scarab, because they have taken it upon themselves to install the next Blue Beetle. Booster calls on some of his old Justice League International pals and Justice League pals like Superman and Wonder Woman, and he leads them and a team of Batman, including the new Blue Beetle, Jaime Reyes. He brings him into the superhero game, and together they stumble upon several OMACs, as Ashley calls them. What was your acronym for them again?
One Man Army Corps.
Not quite right, but yes. And the ensuing battle results in more injuries and deaths, including the death of Connor Kent, Superboy. Now, Ashley, like most superheroes, Booster Gold experiences significant losses in his life.
Yep.
How do you think he handles it in comparison? We've already talked about the death of his twin sister, Michelle. What do you think it says about his character? Because the death of Ted Kord, until it is retconned, will affect basically, and this is a big estimation, then almost the next 10 years of Booster.
Yeah, Ted is dead for too long. For quite a while in publishing history.
It's less than a decade, but I'm just going to say a decade.
Yeah, around a decade. Approximately a decade. I actually think dummy Booster Gold proves that he deals with grief very well, actually, because he's lost his mother and his father. And I know his mileage may vary on the emotional connection.
His father abandoned him, but his father's still alive.
Right, but like he doesn't have a relationship. He's lost,
fair,
right?
Fair. Emotionally lost.
His mother dies. Yes. His sister dies, and his closest companion has died.
Yeah.
And he is still a functioning human being. He is still a functioning superhero, so he still manages to keep his professional life more or less together. He manages to pass on the legacy and do right by Ted by going to Jaime and mentoring Jaime as much as he's capable of. And he manages to retain a sense of humor about his life and his personality. So I don't know what answer you were hoping, but I actually think of most of the superheroes, Michael comes through pretty well. He copes better than the Bat Boys do when Bruce dies. He copes better than Bruce does when Jason dies.
Well, I wasn't hoping for any answer.
Yeah, because
nobody's opinion is right or wrong.
Exactly.
But I appreciate the answer.
But there definitely is. He definitely changes after Ted dies.
Mm-hmm.
He does.
It definitely affects him. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to get to one of my favorite series of all time, 52. Now, Booster Gold, and this is also the series that made me love Booster Gold. Booster Gold returns to Metropolis with Skeets. He moves into a high-rise apartment, and he decides to go back to his corporate approach, and this is where he starts selling ad space, like a race car driver, on his suit. However, Booster quickly discovers that the timeline does not match the events that Skeets has in his database.
For example,
Superman should be in Metropolis, but this is the 1 year later storyline Superman doesn't have his powers, so he's nowhere to be found.
He's on vacation.
So as a result of this mismatching timelines, Skeets malfunctions, and Booster decides to seek out Rip Hunter, the Time Master. Now, he finds Rip Hunter's bunker locked with an atomic clock set to January 1st, 52 BC. And after breaking the lock and getting through the door, he finds the place abandoned. A time sphere is broken. There are several chalkboards with notes. And the repeating number 52 is written all over them with bold letters saying time is broken. And on these chalkboards, there are also several pictures of Booster and Skeets with "It's all his fault" scribbled across the pictures. Booster just kind of is like, "Eh, that's weird," and moves on. But I will tell you that
the most Booster reaction of all time.
Yes, basically.
Not like maybe I should think about this. Maybe I should take a photo or a rubbing. That's weird.
Again, as I said before, he's lazy. These chalkboards, by the way, basically made fandom obsess about them for several years. And these chalkboards actually became recurring motifs. And this is not, you see these chalkboards actually several times in 52, and each time they change. And they're all like Easter eggs for stuff that was going to happen in DC for the next 2 years. I believe like one of them was Batwoman and stuff like that. Because at the same time they were publishing 52, they had already skipped ahead the 1 year later. So we were getting the missing year filled in at the same time as like already seeing what was happening in the future.
This, I know I've already mentioned I already evoked the Flash television show, but this reminds me of the series where Barry goes to the future and then comes back and scribbles an Interlac.
Oh,
and
yeah,
that's kind of that running Easter egg-y motif for most of that season. Yeah.
Now soon, Supernova, a new superhero, steals the public's attention, and Booster is upset. In an effort to regain some of the spotlight back, Booster hires an actor to play Manthrax so he can stage and win fights against Manthrax.
Do you think he hired a SAG actor? Do you think he went non-union for that gig?
Oh, Booster, of course, went non-union. He doesn't pay insurance.
He's like, "I'll pay you with a sandwich and my autograph."
Basically. Do you want some
exposure dollars?
You want some Gold Star Inc. merch from the 80s?
Honestly, I'd take a gig for that.
I would, too. I would, too. By the way, if anybody wants to make a Gold Star Inc. hat for me, I would wear it all around and just say I'm an employee of it. So
yeah,
there you go. However, here's your answer, Ashley.
Oh, sweet.
Booster doesn't forget to pay hit Manthrax, and so Manthrax ousts Booster to the public. So, but soon, in an attempt to fix his public image, Booster uses Skeets to find a crisis. He discovers a sea monster with a nuclear submarine attached to the back in the middle of its back in the middle of Metropolis. Booster fails to take on the monster, but Supernova flies in and makes it disappear. Booster, however, takes the submarine, which is on the verge of explosion, takes it up into the sky to attempt to contain it, and he is successful, but falls back to the ground once it blows up. Supernova catches him, and it appears that the only part of Booster that survived is a charred skeleton. And that is the death of Booster Gold. I want to thank everybody for listening to this episode of Geek History Lesson.
This
Don't forget
really great
that you can subscribe on. I know that is not the
end
of the
lesson.
Yeah,
when I think of blue and gold, I think of their twin tragic deaths and how they were never, ever brought back to life.
Now, Skeets, with the help of Clark Kent, puts on a memorial for Booster.
Wait, who's Clark Kent?
Well, right now he's just Clark Kent.
Oh, that's true.
Because he doesn't have any powers.
Never mind.
He's not Superman during this year.
So, the joke's not funny if you have to explain it.
a Kansas farm boy that wears glasses.
Are you Clark Kent?
Yeah, I'm wearing glasses right now. There you go. So Skeets then decides to go back to Rip Hunter's lab. Along the way, Skeets find Daniel Carter, who is Michael's ancestor in the 21st century. They together go to Rip Hunter's bunker, and they again see the pictures of Booster and Skeets written, this is all your fault, but there are more of them.
More Skeetses?
There are more pictures.
I know.
More. Skeets then realizes that it was Skeets' fault, not Booster's, mm-hmm. that time was broken. Mm-hmm. And he locks Daniel in the bunker. And this is the big reveal that I heard, but I've read in several interviews that this was Grant Morrison's pitch, that Skeets.
It does feel very Morrison to me.
Is evil. Lovely little Jiminy Cricket Skeets is the bad guy of 52.
Lovely little robot Skeets.
That's pretty good. Now, Rip Hunter was hiding in the shrunken city of Kandor inside of Superman's Fortress of Solitude. And he enlarged himself, and he hired Supernova to find items that he needed to defeat Skeets. As it turned out, the reveal is Supernova
was
Booster Gold.
Yeah, and it's a good reveal.
Yeah, and he had staged his downfall and death based on Rip Hunter's suggestions. And he had to keep Skeets out of the loop because they knew that Skeets was bad. Battle ensues, and Rip Hunter attempts to capture Skeets in the Phantom Zone. Their plan fails, and they later lure Skeets to T.O. Morrow's headquarters, where there they find out that it's actually not Skeets. That there's actually somebody inside of Skeets controlling Skeets. Now, Ashley.
Mephisto.
Mephisto.
That's going to date the time, like around when we recorded this, when the reveal was that everyone was Mephisto.
Do you remember who is inside Skeets?
I don't.
The tiny little green little worm, Mr. Mind. Now, Ashley, do you know who Mr. Mind is?
Mr. Mind is, in my opinion, Shazam's
best
greatest villain. Yeah. And shame on Warner Brothers for not making him the villain of Shazam 2.
Well, specifically, he is a worm from the planet Venus possessing powers which include mind control, telepathy, and mental image projection. And I think he talks like this. Mr. Mind!
He looks like the little worm that's always coming out of an apple in a first grade classroom poster that's like, reading is fun. You know what I mean? Hello, this is Gold Star Inc. Can you hold for Mr. Gold, please?
No, human, listen to me. I am controlling your mind.
You are controlling my mind.
Yes, you will say whatever I say.
Yes, I will say whatever you say.
All right, now I need you to come down to the garden in front of the building because I can't walk the 70 stories up, and I need you to stick me in your ear.
In my ear?
Yes, in your ear. I'm controlling you. You have to do it.
Okay, I'm walking to the elevator. Ding. Okay, I'm in the elevator. It's really fast. Ding.
I didn't realize we were going to do all this physical space work.
Podcasting is famously a visual medium, Mr. Mind. Hi, little worm guy.
Hello.
You're in my ear now. Let's go back up. Ding. It's really fast. Ding. I'm back in my office.
Okay. What is the food that you hate the most?
Tomatoes. They're the devil.
Then we shall order the tomato salad for lunch.
Sounds great. You kind of sound like the monarch's kid brother.
And there you go.
If you would like to request a Venture Brothers episode at GHL Podcast.
Not where I intended that improv exercise to go, but I'm happy with it nonetheless. All right.
How dare you, tomato soup, you monster.
Well, that's about, I think, the most that little tiny worm can actually affect is like just force people to eat things that they don't want to eat or do things. Or like, you will do, Zumba.
He's usually inside a giant robot or something like that. Now, Mr. Mind is great, though.
He is a great villain. As much as I make fun of him because I love him, mm-hmm. I actually think he's a great villain. I loved it when he showed up in the Shazam movie, to be honest with you. That was like my favorite moment in that entire movie.
I believe in our Shazam book club, we talked about how much we liked him as well.
Yeah. Now, Mr. Mind declares that he is hungry and he wants to consume universes.
Oh, I thought he wanted tomato soup.
And this is going to be the first one. And this is where Mr. Mind metamorphizes into a giant, like, moth.
That's right, yeah.
Chrysalis bat thing. I don't quite know how to describe it, except it's a moth that looks like it will destroy you.
I'll share a picture of it. It's definitely feminist icon Mothra inspired.
Oh, sure. There you go. Now, Rip Hunter tells Booster to grab Skeets, get a big old can of bug spray, and hop into the time sphere.
He's so dumb. I love him, but he's so dumb.
And they, in their time sphere, hop to a year prior to these events, because this actually was in the final issue, the 52nd issue of 52. So they hop back to the beginning of the 1 year later, the 1 year later we always talk about. And in this moment, at the beginning of 1 year later, they find themselves in between worlds, also within the time stream. And this is the moment during Infinite Crisis where Alexander Luthor basically rebirthed the multiverse and then it went away again. Now,
with his lovely locks.
Among these scores of different universes, because of Rip Hunter and because of Booster Gold and because of this giant Mothra Mr. Mind flying around, this battle recreates the DC multiverse.
What? That's never happened before. I would have never predicted. Tell me more.
Well, Ashley, you know, your jokey tone aside, this actually was the first time since Crisis on Infinite Earths the multiverse had returned. Now, DC has done this like five or six times since then, but I will say that in 2008, when this happened, this was huge.
Yes, because this was the first major, major reset since the 80s.
It was, since 1985.
And we've had 100,000 since then.
And because of their battle, this creates the 52 worlds, why they're all different, and this reintroduced DC multiversity, the multiverse back in the DC continuity since the first time since, as we said.
Do you think there's one Earth that's just Mr. Mind's?
Of course.
Like the Batman Mr. Mind and Wonder Woman Mr. Mind.
In this continuity, they actually explain basically what most of the 52 universes are. Actually, we are recording. We have the map of the 52 worlds. Actually, I was able to get it from Grant Morrison's Multiversity panel at SDCC.
And it's signed.
And it's signed from Mr. Grant Morrison himself. And there are some planets on there that have never been revealed, which I think is very smart. But we kind of know what most of them are. They're all like Elseworld alternate versions.
I still think one should just be Mr. Mind.
We could do, by the way, if listeners wanted to request it, we could do a lesson on the DC multiverse. It'd be fun, like talking about our favorite
worlds.
Okay,
so start tweeting at Grant Morrison now and tell them that we would like them to be a guest on Geekestrals.
There you go. Now, after rescuing Daniel Carter and giving him the supernova suit, these compatriots save the multiverse. Skeets is put back together without the memories of Mr. Mind. He's reunited with Booster, and this all leads to Booster's second solo series ever. Ashley, answer this question right now. Should Booster Gold always have a solo book?
Either a solo or a team-up book, because Booster's had some good team-up books, too.
I agree. There should always be a book where Booster is either the first or the second.
This was the first Booster series that I ever read.
It's a great series.
Yeah.
Okay, so his solo series is Booster Gold, Skeets, Booster Gold, Skeets, and Rip Hunter, setting the timeline to its proper flow. Basically, you know, putting stuff back because the multiverse is all a shambles because of all the stuff they did during 52. It is a great series. I think it's fantastic. A lot of great work by Jeff Johns and especially Mr. Dan Jurgens, and even an unsung hero of this series, Norm Rapman, great anchor. It's a great series. I honestly think you should read it. So I'm not actually going to tell you that much about it because there's only, I believe, like 55 or 52 issues in it. And I kind of think you should read it. It's really
spoiler for
really
our
good.
Recommended reading section.
Yes. But I will give you some setup for it. Okay. 2 months following the 52 crisis, Booster and Skeets have been hiding in the home of Daniel Carter, waiting for the right time to show their faces once more. Booster asks to join the Justice League again, which is a recurring theme with Booster Gold.
Yep.
And all of them say no, except for Batman and Superman, who decide to have faith in Booster, telling him that he has 1 week to prove himself. Suddenly, in the middle of Daniel's living room, Rip Hunter arrives in his time sphere. And Booster has nothing but ill feelings toward Rip now because Rip is responsible for the whole scheme of like Booster paid the guy off. And so Booster looks like a joke because of Rip. Rip scolds Booster for showing his face to the league, saying that he needed to stay hidden. He's like, you're the only person besides me and Skeets and Daniel that knows the multiverse is back. We got to protect that knowledge. And Hunter takes Booster with them in the sphere. And basically they become Time Cop the series. There's a whole bunch of great adventures. Booster goes, Gold fights Sinestro during his time as Green Lantern. He goes back to the Old West. He encounters his dad dressed up as Supernova. Booster even tries to stop Max Lord from killing Ted Kord back in
the past.
Really
sad.
It's a really sad moment. And he finds out, this is like the crux of the first 10 issues, is Booster's trying to save Ted Kord. He finds out that he can't do it. There's even a great issue where he goes back and tries to save Barbara Gordon from being shot by the Joker in the Killing Joke. And during that issue, that is where Bruce Wayne learns that Booster Gold is not a joke because he sees a bunch of pictures that the Joker took where Booster Gold is there. Yeah. And so Booster explains the multiverse, explains his time copiness to Batman. So to me, that's why I always think that Batman and Booster Gold have a very special relationship, because Batman's the only one that knows he's not a joke.
Batman respects him, but I don't think Batman likes him. But I don't know if Batman likes anyone, so, you know.
Well, I also attribute that to that Batman also has a special relationship with him because they were both on the Justice League International.
That's true.
The big moment of this is he tries to save Ted Kord. He can't because it'll ruin the timeline.
Yep.
So, it's a fixed point in time, as Doctor Who fans would say.
Until it's not.
So, the end of the series is that Rip Hunter surprises Booster by rescuing Booster's twin sister, Michelle, from right before she died in the original Booster Gold series. Now, in this final issue, it's a very special moment. It is later revealed that Rip Hunter is not his real name. And in fact, nobody knows who Rip Hunter's the greatest time master of all, who his real name is, because if they knew, they would travel back to when he was a baby, they'd kill him in his crib, and then all the stuff would be terrible. It's the reason why, you know, don't the doctor's real name and all stuff like that. In this series, it is confirmed that Booster Gold is Rip Hunter's father.
Yeah.
And Booster is unaware of this, even though Rip Hunter knows. And this series confirms that the Carter lineage is considered to be the start of the Time Masters, the greatest time travelers of all time. And it's the whole reason why you kind of have to keep the idea that Booster is a goof, because that way nobody will know that Booster Gold is secretly the father.
The patriarch of this whole...
Basically the leader of the Time Masters.
This is also why, and longtime listeners have heard Jason and I mention this here and on extras and stuff like that.
And we did a Rip Hunter episode as well.
Yes, and in old YouTube reviews and stuff like that, that at the end of the first season of Legends, because Rip Hunter is such a big part of it, that it really felt like it was leading to the Booster Gold reveal that wound up being the Hour Man reveal.
Yes, yes, which they, Now, Mr. Juergens, our future guest, takes up the full writing and drawing of this series, and it's so excellent, so go read it. Some of Booster's lead to him, he actually leads a new team of the Justice League International, which is really cool, and Justice League Generation
Lost.
Yeah,
I really loved that.
It's a great storyline. I own the hardcovers. He saves Batman from his final crisis death in the timeline, which is really great. And Booster even experiences Flashpoint. Ashley, what's that?
Barry Allen missed his mommy, so he ran back in time to save her, and everybody got more lines on their costumes.
Yes.
Apparently, I sometimes say more costumes on their lines when I say it really fast, because I've been saying this for 7 years now, and people often tweet me when I say that.
All right. They get more lines on the lines?
They get more costumes on their lines, is what I say, instead of lines on their costumes.
Yes. Okay. Now, Booster experiences Flashpoint.
Yeah.
He's the only other DC hero besides Barry Allen. He sees it change. Now, once Barry comes back and resets the universe, Booster sort of forgets the timeline, but then there's a new, and he goes to Vanishing Point.
Yeah.
So our Booster on Vanishing Point. Now in the Flashpoint timeline, there is a brand new Booster Gold with a costume with a lot of lines on it. And that Booster met the original Booster that I just been talking about. So new 52 version Booster met pre-Flashpoint Booster.
OG Booster.
And there is even a story in Convergence where one of them turns into Wave Rider, the name of Rip Hunter. Also this future time mastery character, a very cosmic DC character. But since normal Booster appears again after this event, acting like he did pre-Flashpoint, and then Ted Kord shows up again, and they don't explain it.
Comics!
It's just better to forget the whole thing.
Comics, woo!
And just make your own continuity, folks.
Exactly. Go buy that t-shirt.
So we're not going to go too deep into this because, to be honest with you,
there's no explanation. There's no explaining it.
Well, so we had, so our Booster seemingly stops existing. He seemingly becomes Wave Rider. From everything I read, he becomes Wave Rider, okay? I don't know whether that story is still, it's kind of a cool storyline, actually. I didn't hate it. You know, I actually think it's kind of a neat destiny for Booster. But anyways, that seems to not exist in continuity anymore. The new 52 Booster just seems to have gone. And then when we saw Booster in DC Rebirth, he was wearing his original pre-Flashpoint costume. Ted Kord is back alive with no explanation of how the timeline's been reset. He's just alive. And they have a friendship, even though in this timeline there was no Justice League International. So, in my opinion of make your own continuity, and you can put that in whatever, to me, it kind of feels like the New 52 and the Flashpoint stuff just didn't happen. Just going to throw that out there. I don't know. Make your own continuity, folks. It's the only way you can make comics work. But there seems to be no explanation. Our Booster is back, and that is a win, so I'm just going to keep on moving on. Briefly, also, Booster appears in the storyline Heroes in Crisis. Batman recommends Booster to go to Sanctuary, which is the superhero hospital that looks like a farm. Unfortunately, a massacre happens that kills most of the residents, and most people think that Booster and Harley Quinn are the one that did it. So most of the storyline is Booster running around with Harley Quinn. He is later saved by Skeets until we eventually learn that it was actually Wally West who accidentally killed all the people at Sanctuary, and he is later rescued by Ted Kord, Blue Beetle, and that is the perfect place to lead him and enter into where we're now ready to enter Dan Jurgens' new series, Blue and Gold, which will be out in comic book stores at the time and on Comixology at the time of this recording. So go check it out. And we've already read the first issue. And that is where we're going to leave Booster Gold, because our Booster Gold baby is back. And, you know, and we're excited to see who could show up in that Booster Gold series, aren't we, Ashley?
Yes. And we finally got the greatest title for that duo on the front page.
Blue and Gold. It's finally a great title. Yeah.
Hello?
It is I, Mr. Mime!
Oh, are you still inside my head?
Yes.
Okay. What's it like in there? Full of goo?
And meat.
That's true. How can I help you today?
Who is the one character that you won't want to appear in Blue and Gold?
That I wouldn't want to appear in Blue and Gold?
Yes.
The Joker.
All right, Dan Jurgens, the Joker will appear! Mr. Mime strikes again!
He'll probably appear. It's a DC comic published this year.
He probably will. Anyways, let's move into our recommended reading, Ashley.
Where if you loved this episode as much as I did and you are not as literate on Booster Gold, you can go over to geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading. Click on the little widgets that Professor Jason recommends you. Pick them up in your preferred format and you'll learn everything we didn't go over about Booster Gold.
All right, my first recommendation is Booster Gold, The Big Fall. It's a hardcover collection that they put out last year. It collects the first 12 issues of Dan Jurgens' original 80s series. They have two hardcovers of this. It's excellent. It is a great, great read. It really actually holds up. It's very well, so it's excellent. The next is 52, the Luminary series that made me love Booster Gold. They have a brand. They have an omnibus for this.
This is our most recommended
52
thing.
Yeah,
across.
Yep.
Because it works for so many characters and so many themes.
Well, almost every DC character appears in it too. So, and it's just good.
Yeah,
it's so good.
It's like that and Hush, I think, are probably tied. Yep.
And then last is Booster Gold 52 Pickup. That is the first.
Oh, I love the title.
It's the first volume of the Booster Gold solo series that we talked about. That you definitely, definitely, if you only read one thing,
that's the one.
That's the one to read. But to be honest with you, this is one. This doesn't usually happen on Geek History Lesson. But I will say this: this is one of the few. And we have many of these, but this is one of the few Geek History Lessons where I'm like, all three of the recommended reading are stellar, solid, and must reads.
Mm-hmm.
All of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely do that. And now we're going to get into our discussion. Everybody, this is awesome. We have a very special guest for our discussion. He is known for his work on the DC comic book storyline, The Death of Superman, and for creating characters such as Doomsday, Hank Henshaw, and Booster Gold. He has a lengthy run on Superman comics, including Adventures of Superman, Superman Volume 2, Action Comics. He wrote Captain America, The Sensational Spider-Man, and was the writer on Thor for 6 years. Please welcome to Geek History Lesson, Mr. Dan Jurgens. Dan Jurgens, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's great to be here. Nice to be on.
We have been big fans of yours for a long time. We've talked over several conventions, and every time we bring you up on the podcast, people are always like, you got to bring Dan Jurgens on. We're like, yeah, here he is. Here he is. So this is our Booster Gold episode. So I have to ask, I think the very first question is, where did the name Booster Gold come from?
Oh, where did the name come from? Well, I wanted something that was different and also symbolic. So, and something that had a sense of rhythm to it, right? And, at that time, everything with man attached to it was long gone. but in the case of Booster, you know, you think about it, Booster stole the equipment that he needed to come back in time. So another word for that is to boost something, to take it. And also the word booster implies the way he would conduct business by through self-hype and boosting his image and that sort of thing. And gold obviously came as part of his attachment to the idea of making money while he did this. So that's where I put it together, Booster Gold. And it was different, and it, I think, really addressed who the character is.
Speaking of being different, when you initially pitched this series to DC back in the bygone 1980s, do you remember their initial reaction to the character in the series? Because it is so ahead of its time. Like, Booster is a 2010s influencer in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah, very much so. So I was actually at a convention in Dallas, and I went to breakfast one morning with Dick Giordano, who was then, you know, managing editor and everything, and might have even been vice president by that time. I'm not sure. But he was a boss, right? As well as a colleague, because Dick had been inking me on a lot of stuff. And I said, Dick, I've got this idea. And I sort of started to explain Booster to him in that conversation very, very quickly. I didn't have a drawing. I didn't have a paragraph written, nothing. And he kept saying, well, so he's a hero for hire. And I said, no, he's not a hero for hire. That's just it. He's out there to elevate his profile. He's out there because he wants to be thought of as an A-list hero. He does the right thing, but he also makes money at it through endorsements. And after about 15 minutes of explaining it, Dick bought it on the spot. He said, it's a go. And he said, you know, I get to publish a couple of things a year that I can just decide on by myself. He said, I love this. This is a go. You just need to give me something on paper so we can get the legal process started. So it was really, it was that simple. And the key is, at that time, DC was a very fun, creative place to be. And a lot of people were able to do things because they had an open door and they said, we want to hear your ideas. And so it was, that's how we got it started.
Listeners, I just want to note, take listen to how humble Dan is, because he said it was a very simple process to pitch that. And whereas the real answer is that Mr. Juergens is just, must be a fantastic pitcher in person. That's what I, which is a skill that is not easy to come by.
I'm also truly imagining you out at a diner with those brown paper covers, sketching Booster in a purple crayon to sell this pitch home.
It really was as simple as trying to explain to Dick why this was different than anything they had and why it was someone who could still fit into the pantheon of heroes that DC had. And, you know, especially at that time, DC heroes were all basically perfect human beings, right? I mean, none of them had any faults. And, you know, they did, but they were still, almost unrealistically pure to a person. And what I kept saying is, Booster has his faults and he tries to do the right thing, but it's a very awkward process for him to get there. But that doesn't mean he's so far out of touch that he can't fit in with everybody else in the DCU. He can, and this is how. And again, I will say, you know, that the mid-80s at DC, it was a very creative period. And it's around the same time you had Watchmen and you had Dark Knight. And just a very short time later, you'd had John Byrne come over to overhaul Superman. So there was a lot of energy there, a lot of stuff going on. And it was being driven even before that by what Marv and George were doing with the Teen Titans and what Paul and Keith were doing with the Legion stuff. So, I mean, it was a great time. It was, you know, Booster was timely. As a hero, he kind of fit this emerging sense of celebrity culture. And at the same time, it was the right time to pitch him to DC.
So speaking to all of that, I want to ask you sort of like a writing question when you are tackling and writing a character like Booster for yourself, because he has a little bit more of these selfish motivations, but he is he is a good guy. He is pure of heart. What do you do to make sure that you don't lean too far one way or the other? Because like these booster stories that you do so well are this perfect mix of him kind of being a terrible person, yet pulling it out in the end. And what are your tips and tricks for like making sure that you find the right mix of that?
To a certain extent, Jason, I think we all have people that we know who walk the line a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. And we see them go up to that line because it's almost like they're being seduced by the dark side or something. But then they pull it back and they end up hopefully being the kind of person that does the right thing. And I think with Boost, if we do know people like that, that's how I write Booster, that he's, you know, he'll always take that sideways glance and look at something and go, ooh, cool. You know, and maybe I should do that. But originally it was Skeets, who really was Jiminy Cricket, who was there to pull him back. Or if not Skeets, it could be, as we're going to see in some of what's happening in the new Blue and Gold series, it could be Ted Kord as the Blue Beetle, that there has almost always been a bit of a presence that helps him refocus, because that's kind of what he has to do, and realize, no, that's going too far and I shouldn't do that.
So, Dan, I won't ask you to name names, but I'm just going to ask that somewhere around 1984, 1985, 1986, I only need a yes or no answer. Did you know a Booster in real life?
Yes.
There we go.
Also, Jason and I used to own a robot vacuum who we named Skeets.
That's true.
Oh, nice. I love it.
He was a good boy. So since we're talking about Ted Kord, and he is my favorite Blue Beetle, I have to ask, because he wasn't initially a part of your first Booster Gold series, but Booster now seems to be so locked into this friendship that we love with Ted Kord. How do you see the Blue and Gold relationship?
It really goes back to what I love about buddy movies. And even if we go all the way back to kind of like the Hope and Crosby on the road type series, that we see the energy that comes out. You take one character who's kind of joking around and playing around a little bit, and they don't have the same charm as when there are two of them in a movie that play off each other. And if we start to think about how buddy movies work and how characters can play off each other, and this goes back to even what we were talking about previously, who pulls Booster back from the edge? Does Booster have to pull Ted back from the edge? And that relationship that is fun to see, where they actually serve to make each other more interesting. And in comics, I think the buddy concept is something that has always worked well. It's true of Green Lantern and Green Arrow when they were the hard traveling heroes. It's true of Luke Cage and Power Fist at Marvel. It's even, I remember when I was a kid, even Hawkman and the Atom had kind of a friendship going. And later we saw it too with the Flash and Green Lantern. And it's something we latch onto because it tells us something more about who these characters are. So I think as readers, we've always liked that sort of thing.
Well, yeah, it's also the perfect idea that, you know, it's hard to write a person by themselves, but it's easy to write a person with a scene partner.
Right. And that's why I created Skeets in the first place.
Yeah, which is smart. Smart.
Yeah.
Dan, do you remember what was it like in 2007 to be asked to come back to a Booster Gold solo series? Now, initially, it was written by Jeff Johns, and I believe, is it Jeff Katz is the gentleman's name?
Yes. Yeah.
And then eventually you took over that series, but what was it like being approached to come back to that series, because you drew their run, and what were your thoughts on their, you know, this Booster series was quite different. It was a Time Cop approach.
Right. I had introduced the time elements in the book in the first volume, and we actually had a couple of episodes where they got into time and everything. And what Jeff wanted to do was, you know, and it was coming off the 52 weekly series too. And what Jeff wanted to do, which I thought was really inspired, is say, let's make him the greatest hero no one ever heard of and find a way to really put Booster on a bit of a different course, which I thought sounded like a lot of fun. So when they asked me to draw it, I said, well, of course, this sounds, well, first of all, I love the character. And secondly, it sounded like a lot of fun, and they really wanted to take it down that road. And they were going to deal with the fact that, of course, at that point, Ted Kord was dead, having been killed by Max Lord. So it had this edge to it, too, where Booster was going to communicate this idea that no matter how much we want to go back in time to fix something, it is the ultimate selfishness is such a huge motivator behind it that you can't possibly allow it to happen. So he has to kind of turn into a time cop that way. And I thought it was a lot of fun. So I was very happy to come back to it.
So the new book, Blue and Gold, a all-time perfect and iconic title. I'm so happy that we get it with artist Ryan Sook. And thanks to you, we got to read it early. So thank you so much. It's out next week at the time of this recording. Can you tell our listeners what it was like returning to write Blue and Gold for the modern age?
Well, yeah. The funny thing is, the first time I was supposed to do this book really was like 1986 or 87, I think. And then there was another point a couple of years later where I was supposed to do it. And, you know, things came up and I never got it done. But this is a conversation I'd been having with DC for the last couple of years about, you know, I still think there is a place here to do this book because in many ways, if we look at the original version of Booster Gold and again, get into this celebrity culture idea, now that we have social media, Booster actually fits the world of today almost better than he did back in the 80s. And so to put together this book that is going to rely a great deal on this notion of heroes and how they interact with fans through social media, I think has a special kind of a beat and rhythm to it that works well. And it also works better to have Ted be a part of this because this is not who Ted is. That, you know, this is not what Ted Kord is all about. So it's kind of like Booster wanting to go down these roads and play up to everybody, where Ted is the one saying, no, this is not who I am. I'm not sure that I just want to get into this idea of being a hero just so all my adventures can be live streamed. I have a secret identity. You don't, you know, that kind of thing. But that's also what steers Booster in the right direction. And why their relationship, I think, is worth reading about. Because as this series plays out, that relationship is very much a strong part of this. How do two guys with different goals still find a way to function as heroes while also using the things that are available to them? Because as Booster will plainly tell you, you know, he doesn't have a job. He has to make money somehow. And being a hero is his job. And that unlike Superman, he can't crush coal into diamonds. And unlike Batman, he wasn't born a billionaire's kid. So he's got to find another way. And I think that's all part of the fun dialogue.
I'm hearing you say that Booster is the everyman.
He is. Yeah. And that is what I've always tried. You know, most of us aren't terribly efficient in our lives. You know, we always kind of do things in an awkward nature and say, oh, if I had known I was going to be this, I would have done that. And it really is. Booster is the guy who tries to do the right thing, but it's a very awkward process for him. He can't do it in that clean fashion. And the example I've always used is if a jetliner is flying over a city and it's going to crash. Superman can fly up, catch it, take it to the airport, put it down. No one's hair is mussed. They get off the plane, they go in the terminal. Booster flies up. He tries to catch it. He can't. He wrestles with it all the way down. And, the wings clip a couple of office buildings. And by the time he sets it down in the middle of Times Square, he's tied up traffic for the next 3 weeks. And it's a mess. And a couple of people got jostled around in the plane and they broke their arms. He saves the lives. It's just a much more awkward way of getting it done.
That is a perfect yeah. comparison. One thing I want to point out, I loved in Blue and Gold number one, the small little references back to your Justice League run in the 90s. I as a heavy DC Comics continuity fan, I really love that. And I want to ask, Booster's been around for 35 years now. And are you ever surprised by that legacy and the fact that he is still being published today? Like, what would 1986 Dan Jurgens have thought about that if you told him, no, oh, in 2021, Booster will still have a title?
I couldn't have imagined. I mean, and I'm asked that all the time, whether it's about Booster Gold, whether it's about Death of Superman or so many other things. And, you know, I was essentially a 23, 24-year-old kid just trying to have fun doing comics. And I don't know that there was any way to anticipate, you know, what it was going to turn into, much less what it would be a couple of decades plus down the road. That, you know, I just was looking to do a good, entertaining story and to have fun myself. And part of, you know, the reality of working in comics is it's really important to enjoy what it is that you're working on. It's a rather solitary profession where if you're a writer, you're living so much inside your own head. If you're the artist, you're just bent over the board for long, long periods. So you have to enjoy it. And I always thought, well, if I enjoy it and get that enthusiasm on the page, readers will as well. And, you know, I've got an issue due next week and that'll take care of that. And then the next month you have the same problem again. And this idea of thinking, gee, what is it going to be past the turn of the century, you know, into 2021, never would have given it a moment's thought.
All right. So since you are a final question here, since you are writing a title called Blue and Gold, very much about Blue Beetle and Booster Gold, but we know that Booster has another best friend, Skeets. I'm going to ask you, who does Booster like more, Ted Kord or Skeets?
I think it's fair to say that he probably likes Ted Kord more, but depends more on Skeets.
Well, there you go. It's that's now canon, everybody, because it's said by the creator.
My heart couldn't have taken it if you said he likes Skeets more.
Oh yeah.
Awesome. Well, everybody, Blue and Gold number 1 of 8. It's an 8-issue miniseries by Dan Jurgens and Ryan Suk, arrives on July 20th. By the time you're hearing this, it will be in your comic book stores, so go pick it up. Dan, where can people, our listeners, find you online? And are there any other projects you'd like to tell our listeners about that they should check out?
Yeah, the best place to find me online is on Twitter, where I am the Dan Jurgens. And then I think in terms of other projects, we just wrapped one up yesterday, which I think is just lovely. And we have DC has an Aquaman 80th anniversary special coming out in a few weeks. And way back in the early 2000s, you know, Steve Epting and I did Aquaman for a year, and we really had a lot of fun. And so
I remember
we kind of did a little bit of an epilogue to our run on the book. So Steve's artwork is absolutely gorgeous. And so it was fun to be a part of.
Awesome. That sounds really cool. And a nice little deep dive for anybody that's a big fan of DC continuity.
We will add that to our recommended reading page so people can find it.
Definitely.
Yeah, thank you. And way to get the two words deep dive into an Aquaman comic.
Not intentional. All right.
No.
So that was just lucky coincidence. Well, Dan, it was lovely to talk to you. And thank you so much for joining us today on Geek History Lesson.
Thank you for having me.
And that was one of my favorite conversations we've ever had on Geek History Lesson. Thank you so much for joining us, Dan Jurgens.
It was amazing.
Yes. We also will have more with Dan Jurgens in our Patreon Extra podcast over at Geek History Lesson Extra over at patreon.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. We're going to chat about his career. He gave some great answers. We may have even got him to curse. I'm just going to throw that out there. So support the pod. Come over and check that out over at patreon.com/Jawin. And now we're going to the teaching tweet.
Jason's favorite part of the podcast, where if the day this episode drops, you go to @GHLPodcast on Twitter, you can find this written, and it's Jason's summation of Booster Gold.
Booster Gold. The greatest hero you've never heard of until he plops into your backyard, saves your grandmother from certain death, flirts with your sister, and his robot Skeets erases your memory. I'm sorry, what were we tweeting about again?
That's very good. That's very Booster.
I think that might be the best tweeting tweet I've ever written. So there you go. There you go, all you people that want to keep it around.
We've asked them twice and they've said yes.
I know.
Look, Mr. Well, call it Mr. Mind. He'll bob into your little brain. It's going to be fine. Hello, this is Jason Inman's office. Hold for Mr. Inman, please.
Now I want to talk to you.
Pretty sure you want to talk to me, Jason.
No, I'm says I'm your brain, but I make you pick up the phone because it's funny.
All right, what can I do for you?
What is your least favorite social media app?
Oh, Facebook.
Then we shall use Facebook all the time. Mr. Mind strikes again.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm the best.
You are.
Now hang up the phone, even though I'm inside your brain. I can just talk to you at any time.
Click.
I'm still here.
What a nightmare.
Let's watch Monster Trucks.
That's a joke for no one except me and Adam Drozen.
All right, Ashley, let's move into the honor roll. That's the section of the podcast where if you go over to Apple Podcasts and you leave us a 5-star review, as thanks for you helping us bump up into the Apple Podcast algorithm, because reviews is how, you know, like, guys, if you like a podcast out there, you like a book, you like a movie, you like a TV show, go give it a 5-star review on the various sites, Amazon, whatever. We ask you to do it on Apple Podcasts. And whatever you write, we read it on the show. So, Ashley, who's joining the honor roll today?
We have two people joining the honor roll today. The first is Gan87, who we also know as Frankie Gan over on the Patreon.
Hey,
says,
Frankie.
Great show. I just wanted my comment read on the show. But seriously, this is a great show. It's very well informed. Ashley B. Robinson and Jason, too many middle names to name Inman, have the knowledge and are great at giving out the lessons. It's so funny.
Oh, thank you, Frankie.
And Frankie is also joined by Wiscotra. Wiscotre is how I would say it in French.
Sure.
Who says, GHL amazing. I legit just stumbled into this podcast looking to delve more into the MCU and the DCU and found so much more. I've gotten so many awesome recommendations for movies, games, and comic books to read. I love how passionate you guys are about the topic. That's what keeps it so interesting. Jason's voices are hilarious. I don't care what anyone thinks. Please keep them up.
Yes!
Ashley is underrated in her comedy. Thank you.
You are underrated in your comedy, by the way. You are very funny.
Thank you. My four levels at UCB are finally paying off. And I think you guys are both hilarious.
Ashley went further than I did.
And you're still funnier. I love your chemistry, and I'm happy I found the pod. Also, as a Black listener, thank you for the representation last summer. Definitely meant a lot. Please do Static Shock, Icon, and Rocket when you can.
Ugh, Icon.
Well, Wiscotra, I'm sorry for mispronouncing your name. Can I see it?
Maybe I can pronounce it better?
Yeah, sure. It's what the one that's right at the top. It's just the T-R-E that to me is so French, so I'm like, how to pronounce?
I mean, yeah, Wiscotre would be how I would say it, too. Maybe we're too white. I don't know.
I don't know. Tweet at GHL Podcast. Let us know.
Apologies. Well, welcome Wiscotre.
Wiscotre.
Wiscotre and Frankie Gann into the teacher's lounge. Professor Juergens is in the quarter, and he teaches aerocraft design.
Wow.
Yeah, which you'll know more about that if you go listen to the GHL lecture at Patreon.
I thought he was going to teach how to create more pages in comic books than probably anyone else.
I mean, he is a legend, and guys, that interview... I've always said that Dan Juergens is like one of the, you heard the interview at this point in the podcast too. And if you go over and listen to the Patreon interview as well. One of the nicest men working in comics, hands down.
I know you were nervous when you met him because there's the whole don't meet your heroes thing.
I met him for the very first time. I had to moderate one of his panels and that's always a nervous position.
Was that the Superman panel?
I don't know. This is going to sound like such a flex, and I don't mean it to be.
No.
At this point, I've hosted so many Superman panels that I just couldn't honestly tell you.
I remember watching a Superman panel with Dan on it, which you hosted, and Dan got some very unfair questions.
That was the spotlight on Dan.
Oh,
that's
was
what that
it?
Was. That was an. I remember that panel. Yes,
and he handled them with such grace and dignity and professionalism.
Yep.
He's an icon.
Yep. He's full of dignity. Same as the people that subscribe to our podcast over at Apple Podcasts and Stitcher and Spotify and everywhere you listen. By the way, if you know somebody out there that's a Booster Gold fan or a Dan Juergens fan, please suggest our podcast to them. Grow our listenership because, you know, it just helps. And we want more listeners and more cool Mind University students to listen to this podcast. Ashley, where can they follow us on social media if they're so interested?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Ashley V. Robinson. The V is very important. Please send me cute pictures of blue and gold together. That would make me so happy.
I thought you were going to say like cats or something like that.
You can also always send me pictures of cats.
Send Ashley pictures of cats dressed as blue and gold.
Send me pictures of your cat named Michael John Carter.
Yeah.
You can also follow.
Name for cat.
It is. It's a female cat would be even funnier. You can also send Jason pictures of your cats at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N across all social media platforms. You can follow the show on Facebook at facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, on Twitter at GHL Podcast, or on the website geekhistorylesson.com. You can contact us in all of those places.
I will contact you now. Pick up the phone. And now.
Hello?
Yes, it's me inside your mind, Mr. Mind.
Are you going to end the show with me?
You know, the real question is how do I make the phone ring?
You have a little tiny
inside your brain.
Motorola Razr in there with you.
I do love the Razr. What is your least favorite animal?
That's a hard question. Humans?
No, give me a real answer.
Humans,
Mr. Mind,
animals.
I'm controlling you. Who's your least favorite animal? I stumble as I get madder.
A mosquito, probably.
We shall buy a mosquito!
Oh, that sucks. Can we buy some bees?
No, we shall buy a mosquito. Mr. Mind
just
wins again.
One?
Mr. Mind wins again.
Do you know most mosquitoes are female?
What's the problem with that?
Nothing. I just think that's interesting.
Okay, that's fine.
I think most of any species are female, though.
By the way, I'm going to order a sofa, and I'm going to put it on your left lobe of your brain.
Well, that's not the creative part, so it'll probably be fine.
Hang up the phone.
Bye-bye. Click.
All right, hashtag stick around. Enough of this, Mr. Mind. I didn't think Mr. Mind was going to come into Booster Gold. And to be honest with you, Mr. Juergens, we apologize.
I'm going to say that. I'm going to say this right here, right now. I regret not putting him on a team that we built that's going to air in a future episode. That would have been a funny
choice. A couple weeks down the road.
Yeah.
Well, we recorded that before that this episode, so that's going to be rough.
And listeners, we recorded that episode so long ago, I don't remember who's on my team.
We were so we are so inside podcasting that nobody has any clue. We have a few. We can say it. Let's say it.
Yeah.
We have an episode coming up that is best Suicide Squad ever, where we're going to decide our best Suicide Squad team. So look out for that. Same week as the Suicide Squad movie comes out. Yeah. We recorded it a ways ago because we knew that movie was coming out.
And to celebrate that movie, pull out your Oscar-winning Suicide Squad movie DVDs.
Yep.
Only
DVDs. Well, I don't think I'm on the Blu-rays.
And find Jason. Jason's in a bunch of the weird video segments.
That is a flex. I am a bunch of the extra features on the Suicide Squad DVD.
It's not a flex. It's a fact.
I should buy that DVD just to have that.
Someone send us P.O. Box 16429, Encino, California, 91416.
If anybody wants to donate it?
Yeah. If you don't want it and you would like me to send you some GHL stickers for your time,
I should just buy it.
Just send it.
If they're not on the DVD, they're on the Warner Brothers. Anyways, hashtag stick around. Very short now, Ashley. We've gone way off the rails.
Sure.
We wanted to make sure you stuck through all the plugs. Do you think we'll ever have a Booster Gold movie? Because I really want one. I think it would work really well, but it has been in development hell for a decade now.
I think we will get one, and I think it will go direct to HBO Max. I mean, I think it will be blue and gold.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Do you think there's a chance we could see a streaming, like, blue and gold or Booster Gold series before we'll ever see a movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or like a CW, any kind of TV show, basically.
Yep.
I think so, too.
I want them to be married.
Well, I mean,
married to.
You know what? That is a question we didn't ask Mr. Dan Juergens. We should have. We should have been like, "What do you think about this?" I mean, it's kind of a new. It's kind of a
should
new.
Should have been
addition.
Like validate my ship.
You know,
it's like considered soft canon because of
Michael's fluid sexuality. Because he's from the 21st century.
No, but it should be. No, because of the video game tie-in comic. I can't think
Injustice.
Of. Thank you. I'm so sorry. Yep. I'm sorry. to all the wonderful people who worked on that book. It's a great book, but because of his death.
You know, I will be honest with you, as a big fan of both of those characters, especially Booster Gold, it doesn't matter to me one way or the other whether he's with Ted.
Right, you wouldn't be weirded out if that was what they decided to, if they decided to make that canon.
I see positives in both stories.
Of course.
I see positives because there is very much in Booster's character be like, hey, hello, baby.
Yeah.
But then there's also like, there's a lot of really great stories as we've seen, like with talking, like with last week's episode, you know, Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that was a brand new thing. But there are also there are a lot of strong stories with Harley has boyfriends as well.
I just think that a mainstream comic, I don't think that there's enough gay male superheroes. We love to have like bisexual characters and lesbians in comics, but we're not as much. And I know people are just going to go to Twitter and send me all the examples.
Sure.
But if they did it with Blue and Gold, they would be like the most mainstream.
I mean, option. My final thought on that is, again, like I would just point out, I'm like,
sorry, I hijacked your.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I want to come back to that because I like your conversation was way more interesting. Booster's from the 25th century. I 100% think he's pansexual.
Right. In the vein of like Star Trek.
Yeah.
Everyone is everything.
Yeah.
If you'll kiss an alien, all bets are off.
I think Booster, if you're attractive, he's coming for you.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're a fire hydrant or a lady or Ted Kord.
I like that when you do your impression of him, he's basically Troy McClure.
He's not quite. Even like, so you think my Booster Gold is like, hi, I'm Booster Gold.
Yeah. It's somewhere between that and Zap Brannigan.
You might remember me from such crises as Infinite Crisis, The Crisis on Infinite Earths, and Heroes on Crisis.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you about my new venture. The solar hat. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have a
pick. Oh, no, again, to give, this is the most credit I'll ever give Smallville. They nailed Booster Gold.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the actor's name who plays him, and I apologize.
He was so good.
But he's
really
a soap
good.
Opera actor, so he brings this, like, hyper-characterization to him, which is absolutely who Booster Gold is in my mind.
Mm. I also really love that they didn't do the cowl. They just had him do yellow sunglasses, which I thought was genius.
It's a truly.
And then they just made his costume a jacket.
Modern adaptation of it, yeah.
It was really good. Mm-hmm. It's really good. Oh, so this one went off the rails.
I mean, did we expect anything different from a Booster Gold episode?
I'm just going to put this out there that I think no other episode of Geek History Lesson. I'm going to put this out here. And listeners, please, it kind of weirdly worked out that this is the 375th episode of Geek History Lesson. Actually, 361, 360, 376, because we deleted the other episode, but it doesn't matter. Anyways, this is the 375th by our continuity, the proper continuity, episode of Geek History Lesson. And I kind of feel like this episode has almost everything, like everything that makes our podcast Geek History Lesson is in this podcast. We're going off the rails. We have a really great guest.
Tex isn't in this episode.
There is a weird character that calls in. No, Tex is not in this episode. Yeah. So I don't think he needs to be in this episode.
There are requests for a Tex Willerman GHL.
If you're brand new to this podcast, Tex Willerman is a character, a Texas cowboy who's best friends with Kurt Wagner, the incredible Nightcrawler. He's a Texas cowboy that is open to everything, but he owns 6 Piggly Wigglies in Texas, and he
and a circus.
He owns a circus and a giraffe. Don't forget about his giraffe. Uh-huh. And he's had like 3 wives by this point.
No, his wife's name is Julie.
No, he got a new wife. Remember?
No,
he did. I don't remember. I think Elaine is her name now or something. I forgot. Listeners, please tell us. Tex and Doctor Strange, our other character, neither one of them showed up. We don't need them here. We met a brand new character, Mr. Mind.
Yeah,
and I think it's pretty
true.
I don't know. We got to go record another podcast, actually.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
So, listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I really enjoyed this episode. I had a great time recording it. Dan Juergens is amazing. Ashley's amazing. Mr. Mind is kind of humorous. Thank you so much for listening to the Booster Gold episode of Geek History Lesson. I am Jason, ready to put advertisements on my chest, Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson, and Professor Jason, would you please dismiss the class?
The podcast is over! So says Mr. Mind!